My name's Jeffrey Bussell. I am a pre-suit attorney at Michigan Auto Law. We handle serious truck and auto accidents. That's primarily what we do.
My name is Mike Schaefer. I also work in the pre-suit division at Michigan Auto Law, and we spend a lot of time answering questions for people about their insurance coverages and various issues related to auto accidents.
Yeah, one of the most frequent topics of conversation that we deal with on a regular basis, daily basis, is the mini tort case, which is essentially the amount of property damage you're allowed to get from the wrongdoer, or the tortfeasor, as we say in legal language, but most people understand wrongdoer. In Michigan, when the No-Fault Act was passed back in 1972, but it took effect in 1973, there was originally no provision for property damage. If a person was insured, they were completely immune from any property damage. Years later, that amount was changed to $400. And I believe in 1995, it was increased to $500, which meant that basically if you were in an auto accident and someone damaged your car, you were responsible for your own collision coverage, but the other person was responsible for a maximum of whatever that mini tort amount was, which currently is $500, but will change in October to $1,000. Rick Snyder on June 7th passed or signed House Bill 5362 into law, which is now going to increase the mini tort limit to $1,000.
So the practical effect of this basically is that if you're in an auto accident where the other driver is at fault for causing the accident, the maximum you can recover at this moment for your vehicle damage from the at-fault party is $500, which, as Jeff alluded to, will change to $1,000 in October of 2012. This is a question we get every single day, and the most common type of mini tort question we get is when the person who was not at fault only carries PL and PD coverage on their vehicle. That means they don't have collision coverage where their own insurance will not pay for their vehicle damage. And in that situation, I have to give the unfortunate news to them that they can only, at least at this moment, recover $500, and as we alluded to, will change to $1,000. And that causes people to be incredulous because they may have a car that's worth $2,000, $3,000, or $4,000. It gets totaled in the accident, and all they can recover is $500. And as Jeff knows, that just causes people a lot of angst.
One time I had somebody who, instead of actually having a collision with the vehicle, the semi-truck had some equipment on it, and it hit the top of an overpass, and the car was actually hit, the client's car was actually hit by debris. And instead of paying under the collision policy, the client's insurer paid under comprehensive, and it was a $100 deductible instead of a $500 deductible, and as far as I was concerned, it was a $100 mini tort claim. That's another we should also talk about. It's $500, or what it's going to be, $1,000 is a maximum. It's not the set amount. If you only have $200 worth of damage, you're going to get $200. It's a minimum. If you have a deductible that's only $250, you're only going to get $250. If you have something called broad collision, which basically means if you're less than 50% at fault, your insurer will waive your deductible, then you don't have a mini tort case, unless, of course, the other driver is uninsured and you have some supplemental damages. But generally the insurance company will pay it, but sometimes they don't, and you're forced to sue, and you have to file in small claims court, and there's costs associated with that. I'm not sure exactly what the costs are. Generally, it's under $100.
Yeah, I believe that's right. Yeah,
and I've only had one. I've talked to many callers, and I've said, hey, you know, if you have to do this, please give me a call back and let me know if the judge gave you costs. And one time, someone did call me back and told me that the judge did award them costs in addition to the mini tort. I'm not sure what the rule is. It really depends on the judge.
I think generally they will award the costs in small claims court, even if there is no sort of, you know, unreasonableness going on the part of the at-fault driver. I think that's the typical decision that the judge will make in small claims.
And there's actually a lack of precedent-setting law on the mini-tort. You'd think it was such a frequent case that there would be more case law on it, but really it's a $500 case up until now, up until October, which it'll change to $1,000 again. But it costs probably, you know, five times the amount of the mini-tort to file an appeal, and you just generally don't see any of them. You're generally, it's just judge's discretion, and if you walk out and you just don't happen to get your mini-tort, it's probably not worth, economically worth it to file an appeal.
And you do have to prove, if you file a mini-tort action, that the other driver was at fault. Now, the rules of evidence are very relaxed. There are none really in small claims. So you can bring in the police report, you can bring in witnesses, but you do have to prove that the other driver was at fault. If the judge were to find that you were partially at fault, say 20% at fault, then he would reduce the amount of the award to you by 20% or by whatever percentage that he found you at fault. So you have to keep in mind when going in that you have to prove the other person was at fault, and you shouldn't take it for granted.
Yeah, one other thing we talked about how to get the mini-tort, and the general rule is you have to copy the police report to the insurance company, a copy of the declaration page, and a copy of your insurance policy showing that you're insured. And that's going to be important because along with the $1,000 increase to $1,000, uninsured drivers will no longer be able to, or uninsured vehicles will no longer be able to collect the mini-tort. And originally, it was kind of an open question. You know, uninsured drivers generally lost out on other cases associated with an auto accident, but the mini-tort was kind of one of these things where it was really judge's discretion. There was nothing in the law that said, hey, you're uninsured, you can't collect the mini-tort. And so we always encouraged people to, you know, if you think you're entitled to it, and the insurance company won't pay you because they don't think they have to because you were uninsured, file a small claim suit, you know, that leave it, no. But depending on the judge, they may not want you to have the mini tort if you were uninsured. But now with the new law, that there's a definite on that. If you are uninsured, you are not going to be able to collect your mini tort.
Well, that's a great point you raise. That's a very common question I get a couple times a week from someone will call, they're in an accident, they were not at fault, but they were uninsured. Their policy had lapsed prior to the accident, and they ask, can I still get the mini-tort? And you're right, it's a disputed question. I think Jeff and I both agree on this because we've looked at it very closely. There's nothing currently in the law, and again, as Jeff noted, this will change in October, but there's nothing currently in the law that prevents an uninsured driver from getting the $500 mini-tort. But another great point you raise is a lot of times I think, you know, if you get before a judge, it's a bit of a wild card issue because it's not a clear-cut issue in the law, and the judge may look down upon you or frown on the fact that you didn't have insurance. So it is 50-50, maybe better than 50-50 that you could get it, but you are not, there's nothing in the law currently that specifically prevent you from getting it. But that is one of the major changes in the law that will go into effect in October, is that it is very clear in disqualifying uninsured drivers from getting the mini-tort. So it'll make it a much easier question for us to answer. Yeah.
And one more question, we're going to talk about exceptions, but one more question I always get is, I can't get a damage estimate because the car is totaled. I can't drive it. It's in my driveway. And they're requesting a damage estimate. Typically, if you take photographs that are obviously in excess of whatever the mini-tort level is, 500 or 1,000, you should be able to tell. Then generally, that will suffice. You photograph in lieu of a, or instead of a damage estimate, generally, if it's obvious damage. If it's not obvious damage, you're gonna somehow have to get an estimate of the damage.
And that's consistent with my experience. If you have clearly visible damage, that is a good substitute for an estimate, which a lot of people have difficulty getting. But if it's something where it's more structural damage that you really can't see that well from the outside, you're going to have to get an estimate on that.
Yeah. And I always recommend people when they're taking photos of the vehicle, they should get at least one shot of the license plate on the vehicle just in case someone wants to cross-reference the vehicle to the police report to make sure that they were actually taking a picture of their vehicle and not some some random vehicle that matched the model number at a junkyard. So if you can, sometimes it's unrecognizable, but if you can get it, that's advisable.
Now, the Minitor stuff we've been talking about applies to a situation where you're operating your car, you're driving the car. You might be stopped at a stop sign, or you might be driving through an intersection, somebody plows into you. And the Minitor applies to that situation where you're operating the car at the time of the accident. But if your car is parked and somebody runs into your parked car, then that is a situation that is completely different, and it's treated differently under the law. There's an exception in the Michigan no-fault law that allows you to recover all of your vehicle damage that is incurred if somebody runs into your parked car. The key component here is that your car has to be parked in a reasonably safe manner.
Right. And it's treated as a property damage claim. It's not treated as a Minitor auto accident. So that's important, because you generally have 3 years to file a lawsuit on the Minitor. You only have 1 year to file on a property damage claim. And I just got a call last week where the car was parked, but it was probably like it was in a no parking zone or something, and the insurance company for the person at fault did not want to pay the property damage because they said the car was improperly or illegally parked.
Yeah.
And my response was, file suit in small claims court for your damages, because just because a car is in the wrong place or a place that you don't think it should be doesn't give you a right to destroy it. It doesn't mean it's just open season to destroy.
You're
it.
Right. Your car can be illegally parked. That doesn't mean it's unsafely parked. Your car could be parked in front of a fire hydrant, for instance. But if it's right on the curb, it's not unsafely parked. It's just illegally parked, so that if there was a fire, you're blocking that. But that's not a reason for the insurance company to not pay for your damage. The car has to be parked in an unsafe manner. And it can be parked illegally, but if it's not unsafe, they still have to pay. And an issue that's been brought up in the last couple of months by two different people I've talked to, is that I've talked to people who have had their parked cars hit, and the insurance company from the at-fault driver's insurance has told them, well, you're only entitled to the Minitor, the $500. I don't know if that's an intentional thing or if they're just ignorant on the subject, but I'm always a little bit suspicious when an insurance company misstates the law. Is that something you've run into at all, Jeff?
Yeah, especially out-of-state insurance companies. And like going back to that example where the person was hit by debris off the overpass from the truck, the insurance company was out of North Carolina, and they had a manual on Michigan law, and it basically said that it had to be, in order for the Minitor to apply, it had to be paid off of collision policy. But it doesn't say that in the statute. The statute says up to, you know, $500, soon to be $1,000, of vehicle damage not otherwise covered by insurance. Who cares which part of the policy, the person's policy paid for the collision cover, whether it was the comprehensive or the collision. I think it's a matter of that these insurance companies just really don't know what they're talking about. And if you have to, you just file your lawsuit and you get the judgment. It says in the Minitor statute, and it's going to continue to say in the Minitor statute, whatever the result of the Minitor claim is, it has no effect on any other claim. So in other words, someone can actually pay you the Minitor, but down the road, in the actual, if there's a liability case because someone's seriously hurt, they can prove liability otherwise. There's no effect from paying the Minitor on any other case that you may have. But you've got to read these releases very carefully, because sometimes they'll release all of your claims, or they're not clear enough. And so what I do is I will mark them up for people so that it basically alludes to it's just a Minitor release only, or for property damage only. Do not sign any releases that release any other claim. Even if you don't think you're hurt, don't do it. You've got to be very careful about that. And also, when you get the check, look the check over, the actual instrument, not necessarily the stub attached, but look the check over. I have seen printed twice on a check before where it said that endorsing the check or depositing the check waives all claims. And in that case, you have to get written permission from the insurer, whoever issued that check, to cross that off before you deposit it. It's very important that you don't waive other claims other than the Minitor claim.
Yeah, that's a very scary thing. And because in addition to your mini-tort claim that you have against the at-fault driver, you have a potential bodily injury claim as well if your injuries meet the threshold for the state of Michigan. And I've seen where insurance companies, in paying off a mini-tort claim, have asked clients to sign releases, which would not only release the mini-tort claim, as Jeff said, it would also release the bodily injury claim, which could be worth multi-thousands of dollars. And you could be releasing that by signing a release for a $500 check or soon to be a $1,000 check. So if an insurance company wants you to sign a release, you got to be extremely careful, look it over very carefully. And as Jeff said, look over the entire check so there's no language on there that suggests that you're releasing all of your claims. Yeah, that is a very, very great point.
You could also release your no-fault claim, which is something we really aren't talking about here. Your first-party no-fault PIP benefits, also called PIP benefits, with a release because, you know, it's related to the accident and there's a lifetime medical benefit associated with that. You definitely don't want to waive that either.
Absolutely. And if you have any questions about it or if you feel like the insurance company's not being fair with you, you can always call us, 1-800-777-0028. And there's also a lot of information on this on the website at www.michiganautolaw.com.
Our advice is free. We want you to collect your money, and we're more than happy to help you. So please call us.